This is WFYI News Now. It's December 5th, and I'm Darian Benson. Later in the show, a state reporter looks into how landlords are held accountable when they have a nonprofit or charitable status.
You might drive by an apartment complex and think that it looks pretty decent from the outside, and you take a step inside and it's like you've just stepped into a war zone.
That's coming up. But first, these headlines. The Indianapolis City County Council held its final meeting of the year Monday night. Jill Sheridan reports the council passed a number of significant measures.
A proposal to set up a new economic enhancement district that will impose a fee on downtown property owners in the Mile Square passed the council. The move will target investment around public safety, homeless outreach, cleanliness, and beautification. Another measure uses TIF, or tax increment financing, money to purchase the Broad Ripple Park Family Center. This proposal saw pushback from the local community who wanted the funds to be put to other uses. Councilor Keith Potts says a council committee discussion highlighted those plans.
Around some of the most urgent issues in our city, such as addressing the challenge of food deserts and our need for more equitable, accessible, and affordable housing. And I know that the next class of councilors will continue the important work on those priorities.
This was the last meeting for Potts and six other Democrat councilors. Another measure passed establishes a new sports district that will help pay for 11 Park, which includes a new stadium for the Indy 11 soccer team. I'm Jill Sheridan, WFYI News.
And an ordinance blocking large water withdrawals from Tippecanoe County unanimously passed at the county commissioners' meeting Monday. As Ben Thorpe reports, the move comes as the state looks into the feasibility of a pipeline that would move water from Tippecanoe County to an industrial district in Lebanon.
Discussion of the ordinance moved quickly compared with last month, when public commenters spent over an hour voicing their support for the measure. Some residents asked whether the ordinance, which puts the moratorium in place for 9 months, could be extended after that period. Tippecanoe County Commissioner Tom Murtaugh said the nine-month halt was intended to end after lawmakers passed water protections out of the next legislative session.
Unfortunately, the day after we passed this on first reading, you know, we got news from leadership out of the State House that they didn't intend to address water issues. Hopefully, they are in the process of reconsidering that. Correct.
But Murtaugh said the ordinance could be extended if the state legislature does not take action on water issues. I'm Ben Thorpe.
Police arrested 21 men in Johnson County for child sex solicitation, part of a three-day sting operation in late November. It was led by the Johnson County Sheriff's Office and several other police departments in the state. Damian Catt is the investigations commander for the Sheriff's Office. He says the men were arrested while meeting with who they believed to be a 14 or 15-year-old child.
A lot of these people, you'd never guess. You know, they live, I would imagine, what appears to be a normal life to most people and neighbors and family members.
Since law enforcement began child solicitation stings in 2019, they have arrested 100 people from six different stings.
As long as we're successful in doing this, we're going to continue to do it and in the attempt to try and keep our kiddos here in Johnson County safe.
A previous operation in April led to the arrest of 32 people. And the Civically Indiana project from Indiana Public Broadcasting answers your questions about the how and why of Indiana state government. This time, a listener asks, how are landlords in the state held accountable when they have nonprofit or charitable status? Violet Comber-Weiland reports.
Chase Howler is the section chief of the Homeowner Protection Unit of the Indiana Attorney General's Office. He says the Indiana Secretary of State approves or denies nonprofit status for Indiana landlords and other companies. The nonprofit tax-exempt status is determined by the Federal Internal Revenue Service. Howler explains the AG's office, along with state entities like health departments, responds to and investigates various issues coming from apartment complexes.
You might drive by an apartment complex and think that it looks pretty decent from the outside. And we've been to several complexes like that. And you take a step inside and it's like you've just stepped into a war zone. In some respects.
He adds state nonprofit laws have not been updated in decades and make it more difficult to address complaints against certain businesses. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Violet Comber-Weiland.
That's all for today's episode of WFYI News Now. Our podcast is produced by the following people who live in your community: Aubriana Heron, Drew Dodlin, Kendall Antron, who composed the music for this podcast, and me, Darian Benson. Our news director is Sarah Neil Estes. If you liked today's episode, remember to subscribe and share. And follow WFYI on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube to check in on our newsroom throughout the day. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.